Good morning. Well, in a way, in kind of a way, they were moms in training. In fact, they were excellent moms in training. How's that so? Well, it seems that the king was new to his throne, and he had forgotten who Joseph was. He'd forgotten how it was that the children of Israel, the people of God, chosen by God, happened to be in Egypt. And he was beginning to get a little hot under the collar. Actually, he was beginning to sweat the fact that it looked like the children of God, Israel, might in fact become a real problem to his rule over Egypt. And he came up with a plan. The plan was to destroy baby boys as they were being born. And so he instructed the midwives, these midwives who were unmarried ladies, who had no children of their own, but they would go to the scene when the Hebrew women were having children, and he instructed them to kill the baby boys so that there would not be a military force that would rise up in insurrection against Pharaoh and his rule over Egypt. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 17, we find these words of courage, powerful words, from these women who at that point in time were probably not followers of God. They were probably not from the nation or the people of Israel. But in verse 17, it says, "The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do, and they let the boys live." They let the boys live. Well, I said that they were mothers, they were excellent mothers in training, because they stood up to the most powerful person in Egypt, this amazingly powerful ruler. And they didn't do what he ordered them to do. When he looked around and he kind of took the temperature of what was going on, the word got back to him that the little boys were living. And so he confronted these women, and he said, "How can you do this? I told you to kill them when they're born." And they said, "Well, these Hebrew women, they're strong. They are so strong that by the time we get there, they've already given birth, and life is going on." Well, they lied, but at the same time, God honored them for standing up, because they, in fact, feared God rather than the most powerful person in their world at that time. You know, today we're celebrating excellent moms who fear the Lord. The title of this message is we're celebrating God-fearing moms. That word, God-fearing, used to be a part of everybody's vocabulary. A God-fearing person, everybody seemed to know. This was a person who respected the power and the authority of the living God. And yet, that expression seems to have fallen on bad times. But you know, our family has been blessed. My own personal family with God-fearing, excellent moms who have achieved this mark, or practiced this mark of excellence. Our ministry here, this church, and this ministry that's been going on for many years and is shared with El Calvario Ministries as well, is blessed with moms who have nurtured and protected and instructed their families in the fear of the Lord. Hear that. They've nurtured them and instructed them and given them a taste of what it means, the wonderful, joyful, actually, fear of the Lord. So today we're gonna focus on God's plan for families. So what exactly would you say is the fear of the Lord? What kind of definition or description? I've got a book entitled The Joy of Fearing God by a Navigator's author, Jerry Bridges. And he said it's sometimes it's easier to just describe the fear of the Lord than it is to actually define it. But we'll give some attempt at a description slash definition of the fear of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, the last chapter. I said last week that I was encouraging you to spend some time reading Proverbs chapter 31, verses 28 or 30 through 31. Now, Proverbs chapter 31 is a poem, and it's two poems put together. The first poem is about it's a poem about the wise king. Listen to the way it starts out. The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. Where do you get the text for this poem? It was an oracle. It was a poem that his mom taught him. And these two poems he got from his mother. It's thought that this king was probably Solomon, but that is tradition to this point. And the wise king is one who's instructed by his mom in this oracle to be very careful about the women that he spends time with, which actually happened to, in reality, be a problem for Solomon. And he said that they would these women would lead him astray, which in many respects, they did. So it might sound like, is there any hope for a man's relationship to a woman? And then he turns the corner as he tells the next poem that his mother wrote. In verse 10, it says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Well, he goes on in this poem talking about this absolutely excellent woman. And then in verses 28 through 31, we pick up at the very end of this amazing book about wisdom. This woman who is excellent, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And he praises her, saying, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. I went out looking for cards last night from Mother's Day. I didn't come back with that one, but it was decent. It was probably telling my wife, I hope I told her, that she is truly an excellent wife and mother. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Verse 30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward that she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. So if you followed Pastor Dennis's promptings, you actually have something to take notes with. And but let me start out with this woman that is to be praised. This woman who fears the Lord. I want to start out with this understanding. This first major point is that the fear of the Lord is actually liberating. The fear of the Lord provides us so much freedom. Why would I say that? How is it that fear, would actually be considered to be a wonderful thing? Right now, we have been pressed into a mold, it seems, for the past 2 months, as this pandemic this COVID-19 pandemic has ravaged many aspects of society, including a number of families. And we get the report on things that we should fear every night and every morning with the news. How is it that there is something that can be joyful about fear? Well, it is the fear of the Lord, which is liberating. It gives freedom. The fear of the Lord is a deep confidence. If you're taking notes, you might want to just write this down. The fear of the Lord is actually a deep confidence in a fresh awareness in the immensity and the authority of God's power. A definition or description of the fear of the Lord that I've been living with really for many decades now has been a simple definition or description. And that is that the fear of the Lord is a constant awareness that this God is watching and weighing every thought, word, and action. He is all-powerful, and he is the moral authority in all the universe. He sets the bar of moral authority, and he is watching and weighing every thought, word, and deed. And people who fear the Lord recognize that that's happening in this very moment. In this very moment, as we worship together, as we've been singing songs together, this afternoon, as we go about our day, celebrating moms who are God-fearing women, as we go through this day, it will be with the understanding that God is very present and aware of everything going on in our process. As we Zoom, as Danny said, a celebration today, God will be watching and weighing every thought, word, and deed. And if we're spreading it on too thick, he'll know that exactly where we are in our mindset. And it's the fear of the Lord is also this overall understanding, this attitude of the soul and spirit, that he holds all the cards. He does. I heard a statement, and if you've been watching TV at all, and that's been your entertainment, and maybe also the discouragement, this last week, midweek, I saw an ad that I've seen for about the second time. And you know, it's a wonderful thing that so many people are applying themselves. They are heroes. They are doctors and nurses and scientists. But in the midst of all of this, could be a good thing. We can set it up as a counterfeit God. And this ad by one of the major drug companies in the world started out with these words: at a time when things are most uncertain, we turn to the most certain thing there is, science. Most certain thing there is, science. We have a scientist in our church, and he is a very brilliant guy. And his life has been about taking the gospel using science and going all over the country and in many parts of the world. And Dr. Ortner would want to communicate to every person interested in science that science is not the God. Science is not the one that delivers all the goods. It's not the only certain voice that we can count on. The voice that we can count on is the one who holds all the cards. Now, there are many other things, like, as I said, that are good things, amazing things that that we love and that we participate in. But God is the authority. He's the power, and he's present and watching and weighing every thought, word, and deed. That's the fear of the Lord. Well, God-fearing moms, a few points. I've got seven items. I'll try to move quickly through this. God-fearing moms, start out with this. Number one, are unafraid. Did I just blow the rest of the message there? God-fearing moms are unafraid. Well, listen to these words of Jesus. Let's just get into the Jesus standing and talking to his disciples. He's telling them what they can expect in the days ahead. He's telling them that that they have a future ahead of them where people who know he is, these people belong to him and that they're his followers. Those people are going to be persecuted just like he was persecuted. They're going to be hated just like he was hated. They're going to be victims of attacks just like he was that, quote, victim. That one who came to be our Savior and our Lord. But Jesus said to them, listen, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. The only one you should fear is the one who can not only take your life, but also put you into hell after he takes your life. And nobody else has that authority except him alone. You know, the one of the psalms that I thought about actually having our people that started out the service today, Danny and Joanna Reed, was from actually Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? And this is like a rhetorical question. The Lord is the light of my life. I need not be afraid of anyone else who might want to threaten me. You might want to turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. I'm going to turn in mine. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 1 through 8. Listen to these words. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High God will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. God calls himself in this psalm, he calls himself a refuge and a fortress. Psalm 118, I'm going further into the psalm. Psalm 118, verses 5 through 9. In my anguish, I cried out to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me, and I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He will be my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord, refuge, than to trust in princes. It's better to, taking refuge in the Lord is absolutely synonymous with fearing the Lord. What can man do to me? Nothing is the answer. Now, in this, we as Solomon is concluding this poem about from Ecclesiastes 31. Actually, backing up to verse 24, it says, "This woman who is an excellent, excellent wife and mother, she makes linen garments, verse 24, and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs at the days to come." I love that expression. She looks at the future, and she laughs at the days to come. You ever known anybody? Well, see, the excellent, the God-fearing mom laughs at the days to come. What do I have to lose here? Nothing. I know a woman who was about to give birth once again. And she had a massive blood clot in one of her legs. And for months, she'd been on blood thinner. And the doctor said, "We can't leave you on the blood thinner when you deliver your child, or you'll die on the table." And so they monitored her, the level of blood thinner throughout her system. And she was getting closer and closer. She was in the hospital awaiting the results of the test on the child's that was growing inside of her, her daughter's development. And the question was, were her lungs well enough developed so that she could actually be born safely and that they could hurry that along? We'll take you off of blood thinner. And as they began to do the test, her placenta exploded. And instantly, just instantly, she lost 5 units of blood. And she literally laughed at the future, simply saying, "The Lord, it's been a good life, and thanks." As God would have it, that child was born safely. And that mom lived to raise her daughter to know and love the Lord. You see, the woman who fears the Lord laughs at the future, and because she's unafraid. Moving on, the woman who fears the Lord is a shelter for her children. Listen to these words from Proverbs chapter 14, verses 26 to 27. He, or in this case for moms today, he or she who fears the Lord has a secure fortress. And for her children, she's a refuge. This mom who fears the Lord has a secure refuge or fortress. And then because she has this fortress, she is a fortress, a refuge for her children. The fear of the Lord, in verse 27 of Proverbs 14, says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man or woman from the snares of death." Psalm 31, verse 19 says, "How great is your goodness, Lord, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men. How great is your goodness." And we know it. That is, those of us who find refuge in you. We who fear you, the Lord. We move on to the moms who fear the Lord are intelligent and wise. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs, the beginning of this amazing book about wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom, this wisdom, and discipline. The fear of the Lord is the starting place for what everyone needs to know. The Bible tells us the fool is set in his heart, no God, no God. That's a fool. And while people can have degrees upon degrees, if you have in all your degrees, in all your learning, in all your supposed intelligence, you've ruled God out. God's judgment on that is you know nothing. You don't understand that I'm the one that creates science. I'm the one who creates health. I'm the one who creates beauty. I'm the one who creates strength. I'm the one who creates endurance. I'm the one who provides insight. Amidst all your learning, it's the fool who says in his heart, no God. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One, in the knowledge of the Holy One, there is understanding. The fear of the Lord, understanding, he holds all the cards, understanding he's all powerful, understanding he is perfectly moral, understanding that he is always right, always just, always pure, always holy. He holds all the cards. This says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of putting those pieces together. And wisdom is the application of those pieces as to what God says he's all about, as to what God says about how life is designed by him, how we were wired to have a relationship with him. We have all sorts of questions that we include with our notes. This week we have 6 or 7 questions that come with these notes, designed to really try to engage each of us in understanding what a woman who fears the Lord is really like, inviting us by way of application and conversations to describe a mother in your experience who was a God-fearing woman, a God-fearing wife and mom and friend. God-fearing women, a God-fearing mom, is intelligent and wise. Dennis Prager, who's a Hebrew scholar in many respects and a communicator to countless millions of people around the world, and wrote a commentary on the book of Exodus, as he's taught it many, many times. He's a Jewish author. And he says that in terms of this intelligence and wisdom, the fear of the Lord is foundational to a relationship with a God, the God to whom we are accountable. And he describes this fear of God in this text that we started out with today from Exodus chapter 1, verse 7. He says that the fear of the Lord is a state of mind in which this woman's, or these women, their attitude and feelings and deeds and goals are shaped by a healthy fear of the Lord. We move on. The fear of the Lord, the woman who fears the Lord is also joyful. Turn to, please, to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. And I read this text. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord, with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. Know that he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. All these statements in those simple five verses, which I've endeavored for many months now at the challenge of a dear friend to incorporate into the very first thoughts I have as I get out of bed every morning. Psalm chapter 100 reminds us who he is. And the woman, and it begins by saying, give thanks to him. Give thanks to him for who he is. The woman who fears the Lord is joyful because she's worshipful, because she's thankful, because she's forgiven, because she's saved. Women who fear the Lord are also mentors of their children. I want to just say this, that at the very in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God's people who are parents are told that they are to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, they are told these simple words, and now Israel, what is the Lord your God's requirement of you? This is the requirement. Love the Lord your God. It begins with fear the Lord, walk in all of his ways, love him, and serve him with every ounce of your being. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him and serve him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And moms who take God seriously make it their vocation in life to teach their kids to fear the Lord, to walk in all of his ways, to love him and serve him with every ounce of their being. Psalm chapter 34, verses 8 through 22. Write it down. Look it up this afternoon. Moms who fear the Lord are also moms who are holy. They're holy. It means their lives are set apart for him. It's the mom who, we know moms, who give the best of their, what they have on their plate. The best of the dinner, the best seat, the best place at the table to their children. And they'll take, as it were, second fiddle to their own needs. Moms who, they are set apart for the Lord. But it goes deeper than that. Moms that are holy are set apart in the sense that they, the words that they say, the thoughts that they have, are set apart as an example for all the people around them, but especially for their children. Moms who are holy speak words that are suitable to be heard by him. And they live their lives. They could be caught up easily in gossip. They could be caught up easily in backbiting. They could be caught up in a critical spirit and passing rumors and complaints about the husband of their children. They could be caught up with words of anger and hatred. They could be caught up with words that betray a spirit that is charmed by the world and that worships these counterfeit gods that simply will never deliver what it promises. Listen to these words of Psalm 19, verse 14. I heard these words spoken in a most humble moment in prayer by the mother of my children when she said, may the words of my mouth, Lord, and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The moms who are God-fearing moms, that's the holy mindset of lives that are lived to give their children a taste of who God is. Moms who are God-fearing moms are to be celebrated because they are blessed. Charm is deceitful, verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised by her children and her husband. Give her the reward that she has earned. And let her works speak for themselves. Let her works praise her at the city gate. In Psalm chapter 34, once again, verses 8 and following, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that he's good. And a mom who fears the Lord, who is a God-fearing woman, has tasted and is tasting to see who God is. She is tasting his presence in her life, in her home, in her car. She's tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. And she's giving her children a taste of who he is. You see, God-fearing moms point their children at every stage of life, from the time that they are little ones who are barely beginning to speak, all the way through until the very end of that mom's life, God-fearing moms give their families a taste of who he is and a taste of the joy of the fear of the Lord. Let me close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for God-fearing moms who give us, their children, a taste of what it is to know you and to fear you, to love you and to serve you, to organize our lives around you, knowing that you are present and that you are watching and weighing every thought, word, and action. Thank you, Father, that that taste that they give us is a real life demonstration of a mom whose words and attitudes are circumspect. Lord, bless them today. May they know that we bless them and we give thanks for them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.